and Jules. This is the Nick and Jules podcast. Whether it's a friend or a neighbour, you could employ them as your disability support worker. Visit carersolutions.com.au.
Right, here we go. We're here for another episode. Nick and Jules and Em. Big day on the cards today. Oh, this is the post game. This is like, you know, after the match has been played at night, we're all the commentators sitting around in the booth being like, what a game.
Except I'm the third tier quarterback who didn't actually get to play but is still excited about the win.
You stuck around and they were like, oh, well, we've got to have someone to interview. That's true. So on today's show, we had Ross Noble, JoJo and Fat Man Scoop. Star-studded lineup.
100%. One of the most stacked shows of interviews I've ever heard of.
Interesting, you know, really just Fat Man Scoop and JoJo, similar worlds, and then just Ross Noble being in there as well, like a little funny little English man. Very funny.
Honestly, really lovely person. I didn't myself get to speak to JoJo or Fat Man Scoop, but those interviews are really fun. And it was nice to at least, you know, have a little laugh with Ross and also condemn you, which is very important.
With Ross?
Yeah.
What do we condemn me? Oh, the peeing thing. Yeah, true. Extended chats, all the extended interviews will be in this podcast. So we spent a little bit extra time with JoJo, so you can find that in the next couple of minutes, which is exciting. I think extended chats possibly with Ross and with Fat Man Scoop.
Whoa.
They're all talkers.
Well,
I've found of late it's been very hard to find, you know, depending on who you're talking to, it's very easy to at times record a 2 to 3 minute radio interview because you have maybe one or two questions and even then one of them might be a bit boring, so you edit it down. But then you have people like that and you go, I want to talk to you for ages, and then it makes my life hard.
I don't want to hang up, but I know this editing is going to be really difficult.
Yeah. Mm. At the back end of when we chatted to JoJo, her publicist came on and was like, hey, guys, we got to wrap this up soon. JoJo's got another chat. And we're like, all right, we'll get there. We'll get there. And we did. But I like to think we made an impact on JoJo's life.
Do you?
No. We were definitely like one of a dozen that day, at least.
I often think about this, right? Because obviously in our line of work, we do quite a few interviews. Mm. And it would be difficult because I think especially when someone's promoting something specific, you would expect very similar questions. So like it would be interesting to kind of be a fly on the wall and watch these interviews because I wonder if it's like 8 interviews back to back and she gets asked the same thing, you know, how did it feel when you were 13 to release this huge song? And then she literally has to like regurgitate the same answer but make it a little bit different so it's good content also, every time.
How's this for just specifically about that line of questioning? We had some general questions. We're going to talk about Fridays. We're going to talk about a bit of her career-y stuff. Mm-hmm. But we found out, like, I was reading an article, like, in the 5 minutes leading up to the interview that she hates talking about that song. She's in her early 30s now. She's like, I've done a heap of stuff since then. She doesn't really want to be defined by that one thing. Yes, it's been her most successful thing, but she doesn't want it to be all she is.
Right.
That makes sense. She really hates when people ask her about interviews. So we just were like, dump, got rid of all this stuff. So we didn't talk. We didn't want to like get her offside.
Of course.
Because I wanted her to fall in love with me.
Yeah, this is actually, if anyone's listening that knows JoJo's people, we are kind of casually, I mean, I'm starting this right now. We are kind of casually trying to get Nick a date with JoJo while she's here for Friday's Live.
Yeah. We're trying to ship us, Joni, if you will.
You're trying to ship her. Wow. Ship her. Okay.
Yeah, I'm starting. You got to manifest. Like I said to you off air a little while ago, you got to manifest. I'm starting to manifest.
What would you use to manifest JoJo in a relationship with you?
Like, what do you mean? Like, other than just speaking into existence?
Yeah. Like, you know,
do you think I need voodoo magic or something?
Maybe. Like, should you get like one of her albums and like, I don't know, like draw love hearts on it or something? No, that sounds really creepy. Don't do that.
I made a shrine to her. And I used blood, but not mine.
I did. I was reading up on her this morning. She has, I think, broken up with her fiancé. So
as of when?
As of, I think, last year. So I think you're in the clear.
I did think she was flirting with me. Dream.
Did you actually?
No. There's no chance.
Could you see each other or was she?
Yeah, she could see. It's funny because Jules was in there as well. Jules was part of the chat. But the way that our cameras are set up, the artist that we, it was a Zoom interview that we did on the panel, sort of a peek behind the scenes, but the main camera is on me, and then so what the other person sees is they see a big screen of me, and in the top right corner they see it on a split screen between 3 other cameras, and Jules is a very small icon there.
Wow.
So they can hear Jules as fine as they can hear me, but they can't see her. they can.
So it did seem like she was just kind of like a little fly on the wall for your date.
Yeah, pretty much. just to give to let anyone like to explain, I guess the JoJo the Joni sort of thing, if you will, is
what I don't understand the Joni thing.
You know how people like, combine names,
but I don't think that would be yours though, would it? It would be like
Nijo
or Jonick.
Jonick.
Jock isn't bad. Chick.
Nijo. Nijo.
Anywho, yeah, to explain that.
Yeah, well.
The Joni thing.
Yeah, it just happened when we did interview her, which was, I don't know, because I'm pretty sure she said she was in LA at the time, or West Coast. And we might have been like 11 o'clock here. I did the time diff and it was like some weird hour over there. And I don't know, whenever we do these, you know, Zoom interviews, for reference, we did one with Sam Fisher like a few months back and he was in LA at the time as well. And he was just like, he's like, trackies on the couch. And so I'm expecting this like, yeah, because it's an audio, it's a Zoom interview so you can see and get the vibe, but it's for just audio. It doesn't matter what you look like. So I was shocked when JoJo was just like incredibly well-dressed, really well-presented, gorgeous, incredibly gorgeous. And I was just really thrown by that.
Yeah. So I don't know. You're going to hear the interview in a couple of minutes on the podcast. Mm. So I think I could hear at the very beginning, I think I could hear that. I think there was you give it a listen yourself and see if I'm right. But I think you can hear Nick's elation. There's just like a tiny bit of extra energy in his voice in the very beginning.
Yeah. I hate that when I like talk or meet people that I find incredibly attractive, I hate that it changes me.
Like he did not keep his cool.
I think it was a fine interview and it was, you know, as cool as can be for, you know, that sort of stuff. You don't really get much time to develop rapport for me to ruin it either way. There was no rapport for me to, there was no cool to blow, so to speak.
Weird way of putting it, but yeah, totally.
Well, you know, but to all the pretty people out there, if people are weird around you, that's why. You
know? That's so unfortunate. Like all these pretty people just automatically they're like, why is everyone so weird? And it's like, well, no, everyone's actually quite normally. Mm. But as soon as they meet you, they turn weird.
Yeah.
So even the, you know, the least weird people suddenly seem very weird to you.
That's why I need best case scenario for me to find my future wife one day.
You know, we've been talking about your future wife a lot this week.
That's true. It's very top of mind, apparently.
I think Nick needs a girlfriend, y'all.
That's not a cry for help, all right? I need to go on a blind dating show, but all the people just have to be models as well.
So dumb. I'm obviously not going to do this right now, but maybe my last day filling in for Jules, I'm going to give you a list of reasons why you're probably single.
Oh, I know why I am. That's fine. I'm well aware of the reasons. I should say as well, I am hyper different between work and regular Nick.
Do you think that?
Definitely.
So do you think I've never met regular Nick?
I don't think anyone has.
Whoa.
Yeah, no, that's crazy.
No, because I think between the, like the radio version, not that I necessarily think I put on a character, but the weird energy that I probably bring into the show, I think is moderately different to outside of it. Because I genuinely believe this, I throw so much energy into the show and work stuff.
Yeah.
And at least, you know, presenting ourselves on air. Mm-hmm. That when it comes to literally everything else, I'm too tired to be that, like, manic or however you want to describe it. So I don't think I could be the way I am during the show in real life a lot of the time.
That's interesting.
Mm.
It's very interesting. Of course, you'd expect an elevated version of yourself on air because it is a type of performance almost, you know, even if you look at it not as like performance, but like performances in an athlete or something. You know, you have to kind of turn on and be on for those moments.
Stretch before we get out there.
Pretty much, yeah. But I would think, but don't you think that this podcast is kind of not that?
No, this podcast is probably closer to, it's the middle ground. It's me as I, you know, I'm like I said, we're cooling down. I'm stretched, you know, shaking it off.
True, true, true.
We're feeling good.
True.
Because like, an athlete in the heat of a game will probably say and do some pretty, you know, could be very mean, could say some very mean things in a game. You know, in a game, I've like, you know.
Wait, are you trying to justify your bad behavior right now?
If you,
like all those
you
mean things you, all those mean things you say to me?
I don't say that mean
things. No, you don't.
You interpret them. However you interpret
saying
them.
Saying that is, that's going to get you in trouble. I'm sorry that you feel that way about what I just said.
My lawyers told me to say that.
It's very interesting, Nick. I think, so when you're dating, do you think you're bringing a you know, authentic version of yourself, or do you think you're just bringing a tired version of yourself?
I think it's varied at varying point, like varied at varying points. I think it's varied depending at what point of my life I've been in.
Okay.
I think now I've realized, I think in, and I've only been sort of dating again for like the last 6 months, maybe, like that before I kind of was at the start of the year, but I realized that was a bad move. Mm-hmm. Went on a date in January after breaking up from a long-term thing in like October, November.
You weren't
like,
ready.
I was like, ooh, this was bad.
I hate this.
As I was walking into that, I was like, this could be the best person in the world, but I will hate this.
Yeah.
This is going to be bad.
Mm-hmm.
So that version of me was just a bit of who knows what the hell that was.
Mm-hmm.
The version of me now is probably the closest thing, because I won't filter myself anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Both in a good and a bad way, I suppose.
Well, it's, you know, it's that famous saying, accept me at my worst, you know?
That's assuming I'm at my worst.
No, but I mean, you do want to not filter yourself good and bad, because if you're going to get in a relationship with someone, or even if you're going to be dating them for a short period of time, you want to be yourself. Because if you're holding – this is why I believe it should be normalized to fight in front of your partners. Because
and I do that on the first – I don't even say hello. What I do is when I go in for a hug, and then when she hugs, I pretend to be a whoopee cushion and I go
– perfect. See, that's perfect. See,
I know they leave a lot of the time. But
no, but I genuinely think that, like, you should be able to be yourself and flaws and all. I know that's really cliche and there's a Beyonce song all about it, but like that is important. I think it's imperative that you can be yourself.
I think when you're younger, you're less inclined to do that as well.
Totally.
Big thing of it. Because like I went for a good 3 and a bit years of not really dating and not really
farting in front of people.
No, and I farted a lot in front of my girlfriend. And she did, like, that's just relationship stuff. But
yeah.
the Nick that was out there dating pre the relationship, because I was my real self in the relationship. I think it's very hard to put up that barrier for 3 years.
100%.
But the Nick that was dating before that was certainly like what I thought people wanted almost. Mm. And now I'm like, well, I'm going to be how I'm going to be. I know who I want to be in a relationship with. And
it's JoJo.
And it is. And it's going to be a bit of an effort to get there, but I know I'll hopefully we, you know, bump into each other backstage and
yes,
she doesn't say leave, get out.
Not right now even.
No. Well, she can say it post show.
Exactly.
As long as she's polite about it. massive lineup, which is very exciting. Fat Man Scoop. I didn't fall in love with Fat Man Scoop.
That's a shame.
I found his energy to be too scary.
Really?
Well, he's just like, we edited the chat down quite a bit. And this, you won't, even in what I put in the podcast here today is the extended version. But there's just bits where he's just like, he feels like a big bear in the sense that it's like he's got this energy and he's like, you know, could be seen as docile. Like, you know, he could be a teddy bear or he could be a grizzly in the sense that, like, you know, he'll be just having a conversation and be like, blah, 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 blah. And then we got this lineup. And then we'll just like, you know, varying degrees of energy, just like bursting out left, right and center.
Yeah, okay. It was a bit too around, up and down, around.
Yeah,
for you.
Very like manic. But I get that that's probably also a very big part of who he is.
Totally,
you've got to be, because like he says in the interview, Batman Scoop, that we ask him, "How are you so high energy all the time?" Because he's a professional hype man. There's not really any professional hype people anymore.
Mm.
He goes, "It's just me, who I am. Like, you know, you don't have to put it on if it's just who you are." Mm. But I just can't imagine a world in which you can have such manic highs without the opposite of that.
Yeah, I mean, I really wish you had got deeper with him and been like, yeah, but what does your psychologist say?
That would be interesting. There's a bit, and I think I include it in this chat, but he does go into some interesting like areas where I go, okay, that's more than I expected from you, Fat Man Scoop.
Well, there you go. See, I do think certainly there's light and shade in everyone. Even the likes of Fat Man Scoop, who is literally, as you said, professional hype man, like there would be. It sounded like I said Hyman just then, but Hyman.
He's a professional Hyman. he's in there. He doesn't get much work because it's hard for him to fit inside of the job.
Anyway, light and shade, baby. That's what I'm saying. I'm sure there's light and shade.
All right. Light and shade in this podcast as well. All right. Enjoy it. Ross Noble, Fat Man Scoop, JoJo, and a bit more in here. We'll see you tomorrow, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Jules, another year. We are very excited to be bringing Fridays Live to Victorian people. It's very exciting.
Huge party. Amazing fun. This is the concert you want to get to.
We know you love your R&B Fridays, and so obviously we're going to bring that a little bit more stage format. Mm-hmm. We know you've got to get excited. Let's pack you in. And there's going to be plenty of amazing artists to get you there. Jason Derulo, Boyz II Men, Flo Rida, Kelly Rowland, Baby Bash, Trevor McCoy, DJ Havana Brown, plus many more. And joining us right now is someone who is on that lineup. You know it from a massive hit from when she was only 13 years old. Joining us live from the other side of the world. Good morning, it's JoJo. Someone that we play every R&B Fridays. It is, of course, JoJo. Good morning. Oh, no.
Oh, no, we lost you.
JoJo, your audio's cut out. Say good morning to us again.
Good morning. Hey. Is it not working?
It's no, we've got you loud and clear. I guess it's that dial-up connection that we've got out here in regional Victoria.
Oh, great. Okay.
From the glitz and the glam. Oh, we're so excited to have you.
And we promise that Fridays Live will be a tighter ship than that there. JoJo, what's it like being backstage with all these artists? Because like we said, we've got Jason Derulo in there, Kelly Rowland, Flo Rida, Boyz II Men, many more. You're all massive celebs in your own right. Do you ever get intimidated by other like big artists that you're a fan of?
Oh, I mean, some, like Beyonce, you know, sure. Like, oh my God. But it really depends. Like, there is a camaraderie when you are an artist, you tour, you have, you know, that life experience, that kind of bonds you with other people. It's kind of an unspoken thing that it's just nice to see people that do the same thing that you do. Yeah. It depends, but I have not been to Australia since I was 14 years old. Wow. And I was filming a movie called Aquamarine. So being able to finally perform my music for my fans is like, I've waited my whole career for this. I'm so excited.
Were there any things about Australia that really entertained you or surprised you?
As a 14-year-old?
My favorite thing about Australia is the people. I just realized that three of my best friends are Australian transplants, or they live there and they like alternate. My choreographer's Australian. My best friend of like 11 years is Australian. One of my writing partners, who's another best friend, is Australian. So I have an affinity for Aussies. So I'm hyped to be with people.
Look, you've got your choreography. You've got, obviously, you've done movies. It's why you're here in Australia. Yep. You've done TV. Obviously, you've performed. There's a lot of stuff, a lot of things that you've been up to. We're coming here for a big tour. Like, you're going to be on quite a few shows when we're here, and they're going to be big. What's it like balancing all these things together? Like, you know, because I imagine there's a lot of energy. Like, do we party every night? We got to keep ourselves right. We got to look after ourselves physically. Is it a bit of a juggling act once you're out on tour?
It is a bit of a juggling act, but I mean, I've kind of honed in on what works for me. Mm. Like, I've just been performing on Broadway, starring as Satine in Moulin Rouge for 16 weeks. So I do 7 shows a week, 2.5 hours a night, sometimes 2 shows a day. So that's taught me a lot about how to like dial it in and how to like, you know, eat right, work out right, take care of yourself so you can perform at the level you want to. And especially when I'm coming to Australia for the first time to perform, I'm definitely not going to be like on a bender. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, maybe
like
fair.
I'll like, once we do the final show in New Zealand, it's all bets are off.
Sure.
You're going to need to carry me on.
It's very exciting. As you mentioned, you've had your Broadway debut earlier this year in April as Satine in, of course, Moulin Rouge, the musical.
Such a good musical.
As a Broadway debut, what's the vibe like there? Because you've got, obviously, a lot of successes behind you and you've achieved, like, a lot of things musically. Is that, like, was that the final frontier? Is, like, one of the last things for you? Or is it, like, this is just something a long time coming?
Oh, it's just, like, a lifelong dream, pretty much, to be on Broadway. I started doing musical theater as a kid. And I think that if I hadn't, you know, had so much success as like a 13-year-old when I put out my first single, I probably would have stayed in that musical theater and like pursued that even more. So it feels like a homecoming, low key, to be able to be a part of like the theater community again. And I think if anything, it just gives me another layer as a performer.
Yeah.
And it's hard work, but it's so rewarding every night to be performing like that. And like you said, the show is just a spectacle. It's amazing. It's 73, you know, songs, mashups that we know, with this like beautiful love story. It's inspiring.
Mm.
So it's not like the final frontier of what I've achieved, but it's definitely one of the times of my life. So that feels good after, you know, having almost 20 years under my belt of being a recording artist and everything, to still be like, wow, you know, I can have all these firsts still.
Well, Jojo, the world is your oyster. Is there any other first that you want to tackle? You've done TV, you've done movies, you've done Broadway. Are we going to see you pop up in some TV advertisements?
Jojo the video game, who knows?
Yeah, Jojo the video game. I don't know about that. I definitely want to be involved in other artists' careers. Mm. Like, I want to help. I want to be a mentor in different ways. I also want to continue to make music that resonates with me and my fans, and continue to tour the world. And I've been fortunate to live an incredible experience like doing this. And I just, I want to like continue to get better. That's really it. Like in this life, I just want to just keep growing.
Keep pushing
growing.
Yourself.
All right. Well, yeah. We'll have at the very least the peak version of Jojo that we can possibly humanly expect once Friday's live hits Victoria. We are very excited. Jojo, like I said, we don't know the full lineup just yet, and we will be sharing that with Victoria in the coming weeks ahead. But to know that you're on the lineup, we are excited. Thank you so much for your time this morning, and we are very keen to see you at Friday's live.
Thank you, guys.
He's, I think, technically speaking, taken Australia by storm. That's what we'll say at the very least. The Jibba Jabba Jamboree Tour. It's at the back end right now, coming down our way here in regional Victoria. Tonight, you can catch him in Mildura. On the weekend, he's in Shepparton. It's Ross Noble. Good morning, mate.
Hi there. When you say taken by storm, I mean, I've been coming here since the late 90s.
So it's
I've stormed. It's more of a light drizzle that's built.
It just remains consistent.
When you first got here, Ross, was it taking it by storm, or were you received like a storm?
You know what? When I first came, I did actually. I played the comedy festival, and then just did it very much under the radar, and then it literally just clicked and went boom, and it took off really quickly. And then hence me continuing to return.
Well, speaking...
Or some, as some might say, milking it.
Oh, hey, mate, you've got to do it. While the cow's udder is full, milk it as much as you need to.
Well, speaking of and returning, this is your 21st solo show. Are you going to have maybe like a special 21st party, maybe like a black and white theme? What are we thinking?
Oh, there you go. I didn't have a 21st. I'll be honest. I'm not. Don't play the violins or anything. I was. Every time I've turned any major milestones, I've always been on my way back from a gig in the middle of nowhere. So it's quite fitting. It's quite fitting.
Yeah, maybe this is it. Maybe this is the one you get to have the party for.
Ross, you got 4 shows left on the Jibba Jabba Jamboree tour before you wrap up and head to the UK. Mate, are you wrecked? Yeah. I feel like you've been doing it for... We spoke to you a little while back before the trammed up comedy thing here, but are you just wrecked from being on the road?
No, like I've been touring for... Well, I mean, I've been doing it for 30 years, but I've been touring like this for 21. So other than 2011, when I took a bit of time off, and with COVID, I've never stopped. So no, I think it's like, you know, when you get those like long distance runners and they just keep running, and then it isn't until they stop running that they basically keel over and die.
So you're marathon runner of comedy. How, like, well, you've held up well in that case.
I'm the Forrest Gump of comedy. That's what I am. I just keep running.
Well, we are 4 shows away from saying goodbye for a little bit before in October you head over to the UK. Between the UK audience and Australians here, is there much of a difference between punters that come out to watch you?
Not really. It's more the place. It's more the places that you play, you know. So, like, you know, if you play... You know, like playing London is very different to playing, say, a small regional town in Scotland. Mm. So, you know, it's sort of, but it's weird because it's changed over the years, because it used to be that, you know, you go into the cities and everyone's, they're more cosmopolitan. But now everybody's got all the same information, and they're all plugged into the same things. So actually, over the years, it's got audiences have got a lot more similar. But in Australia, people are just a bit more, I wouldn't say they're more chilled out. They're just, in the UK, a lot of people are just furious all the time because everything's broken and it takes ages to get everywhere, and you know, they're sitting in traffic. So there's people are a lot more
disgruntled.
But at the same time, but also at the same time, pretending they're not. So
bunch of pretenders. All, yeah. Not in Australia. Not here. No.
Well, Ross, let's not start throwing insults around. I do have to go back in.
Ross, as Nick mentioned, a couple more shows on the tour here in Oz. If people want to get more info, they can head to your website. Speaking of your website, though, the pictures on there are so much fun. Was that photo shoot over the course of a day? How did they happen? You're like falling on the page.
Oh, that one. Yes. Yeah, that was. There's ones where I'm. That was all filmed in one. That was actually a video of me falling. And then they on the website, if you play it quickly, if you scroll really quickly, you can actually see me falling. That was done using, I got these guys, and they do like movie, you know, like when you see people like in superhero films where they're flying around.
So
they rigged me up in this big harness and then they chucked me around the studio.
That's amazing.
And my management were like, you do know this is just for a website. And I was like, yeah. And they're going, this isn't like a Marvel movie. I was like, no, it'll be brilliant. I'll spin around. I'll fly all over the place. And then afterwards, I realized that when you load my website up from certain devices, because of the high resolution of the special effects, it takes ages to load. And my wife was going, your website's rubbish. I'm going, no, it's not state of the art. She's going, no, it takes ages. So if you are going on the website and it doesn't load immediately, just stick with it. It'll only take 15 seconds to load. But
it's worth
it is worth it, yes. But I've also shot myself in the foot at the same time. So what are you going to do?
Before we let you go, mate, just we wanted to get your quick take on something that's been causing a bit of debate here on the show and on the station, if that's all right. If we can get you to weigh in on something.
Absolutely, yes. The more controversial, the better. Well, that's what the world needs now. Go
on. See, this. I've got strong feelings, Ross. So yesterday, Nick told me that he pees in every single body of water that he's ever been in. So he's never met a pool he hasn't peed in. He pees in the ocean every single time he goes in the ocean. And he even pees in hot tubs. I don't think that's appropriate.
Wow. Well, I mean, at least he's not doing it in kettles in hotels.
Yeah, well, I haven't been in inside of a kettle, and that's where I draw the line. That's why I won't.
Well, look, that you think that's acceptable. My wife, we've bought twice now, when we've moved house, we've moved into a house that has had a hot tub in it. And she has had it ripped out before we've moved in.
Why?
Because people like you, that's why.
the pee gets washed out by the chemicals, Ross.
No.
Are you insane?
Thank you so much, Ross.
Are you drunk? like, all right, so if I said, like, forget that it's a hot tub, right? Just forget that it's a hot tub.
Sure.
If you said, right, I'm going to stand here, and I'm just not like, not way on my feet, right? But like, if you said to me, I'm just going to stand next to you and just have a piss, right? I would go, no, you're not. I don't want it. I don't want your urine anyway. It's fine if you're Bear Grylls, you know, he's bottling it up and drinking it every 2 minutes. But no, just because there's chemicals there, that's like saying, oh, I've got a pair of rubber trousers. I'm just gonna stand here pissing myself. No, you've crossed the line on every. No, that's shameful because the chemicals don't. The chemicals might filter the urine,
but they don't filter the shame.
Exactly.
Thank you so much, Ross. I'm thrilled.
Ross, I mean, as you've been moving around and touring around the country, have you, and with the hotels and motels or wherever you might have stayed, caravan parks, I don't know what your setup is. Have you gone in any of the bodies of water there? Have you touched any Australian body of water?
Absolutely. And I'll tell you what I've
done. And have you survived?
No. is the answer. I got an ear infection from a hot tub. And to be honest, I wish I'd taken swabs because I could treat you, you outbreak monkey. It's probably you that caused this. And I'm just saying, whenever I check into a hotel, they do that thing. They go, I've given you an upgrade. You've got the whatever the suite is. And then you go, oh, brilliant. They go, there's a spa bath. And you go, you know what? I will not be getting in it at all.
The one time an upgrade doesn't work. All right. Well, look, fair enough. Horses for courses, each to their own. I'm going to continue peeing. You keep avoiding it.
What about the dolphins? What about the dolphins and their eyes?
This is what I said, Ross. That's exactly what I said.
The dolphins don't care. I'm out here protecting turtles. I can only save one sea creature at a time.
those turtle shells, they're melting off because of the acid in your urine.
The Jibber Jabber Jamboree Tour, it wraps up with the Australian leg this coming week. Tonight, you can catch Ross at the Mildura Art Centre on Sunday at River Links East Bank in Shepparton. Grab your tickets at rossnoble.com. It's a fun website, as we've heard. Ross, thanks for your time this morning, mate.
Well, lovely to talk to you. And the next time I see you, I'm not shaking your hand.
Friday's Live, it's back for 2023. Woo! We are excited, Jules. In Australia, affectionately known as one of the biggest parties, our most beloved party. And when you rock up to this party, who's there at the front door greeting you? It is our hype man, the president of party, Fat Man Scoop. Good morning, mate.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Woo!
How good to have you in the studio, my friend.
I love
what's happening?
Yes, the energy is high, mate. We are so stoked to be bringing it back. We know you've been out here a few times for the show. How do we keep on top of it? How do you bring the energy time and time again, man?
Listen, it's what I am. It's what I do. It's when you actually are this way, you can't fake it. You don't need to turn it on. It's just who I am. It's what I am. I have an energy and zest for life because I'm here.
That's awesome. Hey, so what is, if you are, like, I guess, turned up to the 10 all the time around, what is, if you had to pick a time, like, your lowest energy moment, like, you know, middle of the night, you're waking up to go to the bathroom. Are you doing that with a zest for life?
Oh, no. Who's peeing at 4 o'clock in the morning with a zest?
I don't know, you know.
Good point.
And he's just getting up out of the, oh, God, he's getting up out of the bed and you're doing what you got to do.
You got to get back to sleep. I'm excited to get back to sleep.
He's not finding time to contain his energy, Nick.
Oh, well, I suppose that's why, yeah, Scoop's got to get the rest in so that he can bring the party to us. Massive lineup, Scoop. We are pumped. We've got Boyz II Men, Kelly Rowland, Jason Derulo, JoJo, Craven McCoy. It's crazy. Like, we are.
Don't forget Flo Rida. Don't forget JoJo. Don't forget Baby Bash. Come on, we got to get them all in there.
Man, we got like an incredible lineup. They're going to be the plane's full bringing these guys over. We are stoked. What is it like? Because, like, you're the face of the party, effectively, right there.
Yes.
You're bringing them in. You're welcoming us along with Abby Chatfield and co. And everyone's out there. What's the vibe like backstage with all of these massive artists coming together to bring it to Melbourne and to bring it to Victoria?
The honest truth?
Yeah.
Silence.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Is that just because they're zoning in on the preparation?
Everybody is zoning. So here's what's happening. Because you guys, here's what the average person thinks.
Yeah.
Oh, everybody's back there and drinking.
Yeah.
It's not like that. Mm. As one person's on stage, the other person's coming from the hotel, they're sitting in their room, they're preparing, they go on. When they're going on, the guy that came off is drying off with a towel, he's going to the hotel. Like, it's like a triangle. Like, go here, pick up, go here, pick up, go here, pick up. You know, you might have people here, you know, stage roadies and stuff like that. They're eating, you know, they're doing the catering or whatever, stuff like that. But it's not exactly what you think. It's not, you know, super crazy like that. Also, you have to understand, we're doing a 90s, you know, 90s, 2000s, like that kind of show. Most of these people are seasoned.
Yes.
So these are people who have years in the game. It is actually what they do. Nobody's acting stupid. Nobody's messing up. Nobody's going crazy. So it's a very, very smooth and comfortable vibe backstage.
They're clinical with it. They know what they're doing.
I've only been nervous 2 points in my life on stage, ever.
Huh. What were the two moments?
I had a TV show on MTV called Man and Wife. It was with my ex-wife.
Okay.
And at the time, I was promoting it on the radio station I used to work for called Hot 97. And I'm not going to say that people were looking at me because they were like, this is, you know, is this going to fail or not? Uh-huh. So I had all the people kind of look at me to see if it was going to fail. And I'll never forget, you know, it was an unproven concept, and to get, you know, 300 or 400 people in a room for an unproven concept is hard. And I'll never forget, you know, my stomach being crazy because I was nervous people weren't going to show up. They showed up in droves, but that was one time. And then the other time was the first time that I performed in front of my mentor and my teacher, the world's greatest entertainer. His name is Dougie Fresh. It's like performing in front of your father. So that made me nervous. And then one time I had to do my cousin's wedding. So my entire family was there.
Yeah.
So if you bomb in front of strangers, that's cool.
Yeah.
But if you bomb in front of your cousin, your nephew, your uncles, your mother.
You're going to hear about it for decades.
Yeah, you'll hear about it forever. So when I got in there and I got that party moving and I saw my mother and father dancing, God bless the dead, I said, oh, man, I feel good. And you know, those were the only times I've ever really been nervous.
Yeah, man, what a heck of a wedding as well. Honor to get the call up. Scoop, we're honored. I mean, to have you back, president of party here for Fridays Live. Can you give us an insight into your schedule? Because by the way, because we've been looking into, obviously, everyone knows you. We play you on R&B Fridays. You're out here doing back-to-back concerts. It's a big thing. We also know that across the pandemic, you've gone to trucking, cannabis, ice cream.
Oh my God.
Brother, your schedule must be insane. Like, what's the diary like? How do you find time to do these things?
I mean, listen, I do it because I love to do it. I mean, I pretty much work anywhere between 16 and 18 hours a day. I may sleep like maybe 6 hours, maybe. But I love to do what I do, you know. So I get up, you know, I do paperwork in the morning.
Sure.
You know, I first of all, I get up, I pray, I meditate, and then I go downstairs in my basement. I do, you know, my paperwork in the office and stuff. And then I'll go to the studio and I'll, you know, record a record or two. For example, I have a record out right now with an artist named Madeline Bernay. The record's called The Moment. It's actually a mix of trap and hip-hop. Trap, hip-hop, and opera. So the artist is an opera singer who's actually taken trap music and hip-hop and blended it. Amazing. Wow. And, you know, the record's called The Moment. And when you have the records to hit you, you never have to sit and write those records. I wrote the record in 5 minutes, recorded it, sent it back to her. By the way, if you want to hear that record, it's actually, we did it for Gay Pride Month. LGBTQ community is loving it. It's an empowerment anthem. You can go anywhere streaming, any streaming platform, and just hit The Moment. Madeline Bene featuring Fat Man Scoop, and you'll get it. But anyway, I usually, you know, make records, and then I'll get up, I'll exercise, I'll do a bunch of different things.
Oh, yeah.
I'll work on my social media, and it goes around and around and around. Now, on Thursday, I get up, and I go to do my shows. And on Thursday or Friday, or whenever I get to the show, I do the sound check, and the sound check is where I practice. DJing, I practice performing, and I do that on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Every sound check I practice, and that's how I keep my practice up, and it goes over and over and over again. But here's the thing, people. When you love to do what you do, it is not work.
That's it.
Hell yeah, man. Well, we're excited that you are well-practiced, that you have put in the time over the years. When you come out, president of party, we'll be here for Fridays Live. Massive lineup, ticketing details to follow. We are excited to have you back end of this year for what is going to be the biggest party in Australia. Scoop, thank you for your time this morning, mate.
Thank you. I appreciate you again, people. Go get your tickets now. Fat Man Scoop, Abby Chatfield, Yo Mafia, Havana Brown, Baby Bash, Travie McCoy, JoJo, Boys, Two Men, Kelly Rowland, Flo Rida, Jason Derulo. Gonna be an event. Let's go, y'all.
Nick and Jules. That was the Nick and Jules podcast. Whether it's a friend or a neighbour, you could employ them as your disability support worker. Visit caresolutions.com.au.